All right, listen, good morning. On September 11th, last year, Al Braca, how many have ever heard of Al Braca? You're not supposed to have heard of him. He left for work from his new home in suburban New York. And Al was a corporate bond trader with the same firm that Shelby White's son is with, Cantor Fitzgerald, on the 105th floor of Tower One, the World Trade Center. His wife, Jeannie, tells us that he did not really look forward to going to work that much. She said the rough and tumble of the corporate bond business was hard on Al. It was hard on him. But he had a real heart for the people in the business, and that's why he stuck with it. The people in the business sarcastically nicknamed him the Rev, because Al freely shared his faith with his co-workers. They made fun of him, but when horrible things came into their lives, and we've all had something come into our lives, right? They all went over to Al quietly and asked Al for prayer. After September 11th, reports trickled in through emails and through phone operators and whatever, that some man was leading people in prayer the morning of 9/11 at Cantor Fitzgerald. A few reports identified the man as Al Braca. And when the people realized that they were all trapped and would not be able to escape, Al shared the gospel with a group of 50 people, and they all prayed together. Men, even on that darkest morning, God had his leader right there in the middle of the whole thing. A leader willing to share the good news of salvation with others. Now, what a contrast this man Al Braca is with the man we shall begin to study this morning. Open your scriptures to the book of Jonah. Now, the way you find Jonah, if you're new at the Bible, you get into the big prophets there. You get in the big prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, and then there's a group of 12 smaller books, and he's about the fifth one in, I think. Somebody check me out on that. So just keep going to the right if you get over to Daniel, and you'll find it eventually. Or if you're really clever, you can look at the table of contents in your Bible and you probably find it that way. Today is the kickoff of Jonah, the fall program for On the Border Leadership Development Program that we have here. I'll start reading from verse 1 here. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me, the Lord says to Jonah. Verse 3, but Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee the Lord. Now, what a contrast. On the one hand here, you have the God's prophet. He's an official prophet. It's not his first assignment in the scriptures. He's found in other places in the scriptures. He's ordained by God to be the prophet of Israel. He's been given a clear, specific command, and he goes in the other direction, which you've all heard before in your life, right? You've all heard that somewhere along the line. On the other hand, a man,
just a man, 2,800 years later, who does what he knows is right, who shares the love of the Lord with those people that God sent him to. There is more than likely, men, at least one person in heaven today because of the obedience of this one man, Al Branca. More than likely, right? But men, before I go any further with this study of Jonah today, I think there's something that we need to get straight here at On the Border Restaurant. Let's get something real straight here. What is going to be our approach to the study of the book of Jonah? Are we going to view the book as legend, as a myth, or as great material for a children's Sunday school class? Should we give every man here a cutout of a whale on construction paper and have you take it home and show your family? Or are we going to view the book as history? Is there any reason to brand as fairy tales the miracles in the book of Jonah? Is there any reason to brand them as fairy tales? Jonah was swallowed by a great sea monster, vomited up on the beach. The conversion of the Ninevites, or the growth of the plant. You remember the Lord had the plant grow up around Noah to protect him from the sun? Are these any more incredible than the parting of the Red Sea? Or the manna from heaven for 40 years? Or the resurrection of Christ? Are these any more incredible than that? Matter of fact, it is in reference to his resurrection that Jesus Christ himself authenticates the historicity of the events in the book of Jonah. Now look with me this morning, go over and flip over into the New Testament to the book of Matthew, the 12th chapter. Let's see what Jesus Christ has to say about this whole matter of the book of Jonah. Matthew, the 12th chapter. And of course, you always have the skeptics in any generation, right? Of course, Jesus had his skeptics. So verse 38, Matthew 12, 38, then some of the Pharisees and teachers of the law said to him, "Teacher, we want to see a miraculous sign from you. Show us a miracle." Now watch the way Jesus handles this. This is fascinating, men. Verse 39, he answered, "A wicked and adulterous generation asks for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one greater than Jonah is here." Just as sure as he would die and be resurrected from the dead, so was Jonah 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great sea monster. The Ninevites, who were 8th century before Christ Nazis. The Nazis studied the Assyrians in Nineveh to figure out how to be as cruel as they could be. That's where they got a lot of their torture techniques, from studying the ancient Assyrians. They did repent. And men, there is a judgment for all of us. And Jesus, men, authenticates this book by putting his whole reputation on the line. Now, why is this important as we kick off here this morning in September of the year 2002, 5 days, is today the sixth? 5 days before the anniversary of 9/11. Why is this so important that we establish this here this morning? Because for a man like Tim Hayes, is he here yet this morning? For a man like Tim Hayes to continue his ministry of gospel literature distribution at nursing homes, I'll embarrass John and Earl again, or for John Shingler and Earl Young to share the love of Christ with the men at the Trinity Shelter, is that what we call it? Trinity House. Or for Charlie Renfro to continue his ministry at the Interfaith Chapel in Seaside, Florida, on the Redneck Riviera. Or his ministry to his friend Pettus Randall. Or the judge over here, David Butler's special outreach to his Angry Men Forum. He's got a little forum called the Angry Men Forum. If you're an angry man, see David. He might be able to fix you up. Man, we have to know the vastness of God's love for this world, and we have to know that it's real. I mean, you guys are not going to continue to make the sacrifices, are you, for a metaphor? For a fairy tale? God's love even extended to the capital of the dreaded ancient Assyrians at Nineveh, men. And men, when God prepares, when He purposes to reach a person at the World Trade Center on 9/11, He will use a man like Al Braca, available. He wasn't crazy about the thing, but he was available, right? And when God purposes to save Nineveh, He will use a man like Jonah, whether Jonah likes it or not. That's exactly what it came down to, and we're going to have fun studying this whole thing. Whether you like it or not, if God purposes it, you're in. But most importantly, men, there are people out there that God wants to reach with His love through you and me. And Jonah is going to help us see the largeness of God's heart for all people. The largeness, the vastness of it. So we will have the courage to continue to reach out to the people He puts in our lives. Read the book of Jonah this week. Read the whole 4 chapters. Be good to yourself. Okay? Let's have prayer together this morning. Lord, I thank You for the new men here this morning. We're just getting on board with a new book, and we're going to have a great time learning about You. This is love, John writes to us. Not that we love God, but God loved us and sent His Son to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Thank You. In the name of Jesus, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Messiah. In His name we pray. Amen. Let's have a good time at our tables this morning.